So Lord Jesus, we just thank you, God, for an opportunity where we can come together and learn about you. We get to open your word and read about you. Why do we do that? Because your word is life. So God, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear and see what you want for us. I even pray for me, Lord, that you would help me to speak, Lord, the words that you want spoken, that you would bless me, that you would anoint me, and allow me to do your will. I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, this is going to be a little interesting, preaching to no one in the sanctuary, but I'm looking forward to just spending some time in the Word of God. Now, last week we looked at the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. Now, the truth is it was kind of a difficult sermon because we looked at a side of Jesus that we don't normally talk about. I would challenge you to go and find that sermon. I think it will bless you. But we remember that Jesus was full of goodness. And goodness is defined as integrity, honesty, and righteousness. And that combination will often make some of our relationships kind of messy. Why? Because it means being willing to stand up for what's wrong and to do something about it. And that also means that we look into our lives. We see if there's anything that we're doing that doesn't line up with what the Bible says, and we make changes. But it's not just our own lives. It also means that we're willing to look into the lives of the people that are around us. Yes, that, I guess you could call it being a little nosy. Yes, that means getting close enough to different people where you will see what they're saying and what they're doing. Matter of fact, it also means being willing to let them know when what they're doing doesn't line up with what the Bible says. Now, remember, this isn't done to condemn them. You're not trying to hurt them. You're not trying to make them feel guilty. You're really not trying to do anything negative to them at all. Actually, it's done in love. It's done in kindness because we want to make sure that their relationship with God is great. We love them so much that we would actually rather offend them than for them to hurt their relationship with God. But that's why God gave us all of the fruit of the Spirit. See, if we didn't have all of them, we would be lacking in one area that would hurt our ability to show any of the fruit of the Spirit. Like, for example, without the umbrella of love kind of covering everything we do, because it's based on commitment. It's not based on feelings. If we didn't have that, very little of what we wanted to give people would be received because they would see it as potentially hurting more than helping them. And without the strength that joy gives us, we would grow tired from all the things that God asks us to do. Remember, we've talked about that. The good works that God has prepared for us in advance to do for Him. And without peace, remember the peace that doesn't make sense? If that's not, you know, guarding our heart, which is our feelings, if it's not guarding our mind, which is our logic, it's how we think, we would come under attack and eventually we would quit. But see, God gives us peace that doesn't make sense, that guards our heart and mind. But then we also need patience. Because if we didn't have patience, we wouldn't have the endurance to put up with imperfection. Have you noticed that most of the people, if not all of them around you, you included, you're not perfect. You make mistakes. Matter of fact, sometimes multiple times. Now, what happens is God has shown us patience. And since He's willing to show us patience, we're also willing to show the people in our lives the same patience. But without kindness, no one would listen to us. Well, why? Well, because our advice would seem harsh. Our help, it would almost seem self-seeking. I mean, even our encouragement would often sound self-righteous. See, people can tell when you are kind, which means useful, good, mild, and pleasant. And finally, what we learned last week, without goodness, there would be no standard to follow. See, the Bible tells us how to live our lives. We need help from the Holy Spirit to help us walk the path that God has asked us to walk. He even uses other people in our life who are walking that same path to encourage us to do what's right. See, if you take one of those fruit away, it actually causes all of them to crumble, almost like a house of cards. But thankfully, when we give our lives to Jesus, we get all the fruit. God plants them inside of us and begins to grow them. And they actually become what we call evidence. Evidence that we're new creations. Evidence that we're connected to the true vine, which is Jesus. It allows us to do what God's called us to do. Because we know what that is. It's to go, to preach, and to make disciples. Because of the fruit, we have the ability to do that. Now, this morning we're going to do the next fruit, which is the fruit called faithfulness. And we found that in Galatians 5. We've been reading this every week. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Now, I would suggest writing some of these scriptures down. I'm not going to have the scriptures behind me this morning. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Now, I have to admit, you know, as I was studying for this sermon, really the first thing that came to my mind when I thought of faithfulness was my dog when I was growing up. It was. Matter of fact, it's kind of a funny name, but my dog's name was Ernie. No, there wasn't a Bert. It was just Ernie. And he was a beagle, purebred. And he was a great dog. He lived outside, and my dad actually built him a big dog house. I mean, and we're talking fancy here. He literally gave him insulated walls with insulation inside. There was a big piece of carpet that was put over the front for his door. He even had shingles on his roof. And he would, just like Snoopy did, he literally would jump on top of his house and would bark at people from the top. Now, Ernie was a great dog. He really was. He was one of the most loyal friends that you would ever have. He was just always there. Actually, a very protective dog as well. And the funny thing is, he was just this little tiny dog, but didn't matter how big the dog was that came close to us, he was there. He was protecting. He was loyal to the end. Now, if we look at the definition of faithfulness, if you look at that in the Greek, it means trustworthiness. It's someone who is reliable and sincere. Matter of fact, even if you look up the word in Webster's dictionary, it defines faithful as constant, loyal, showing a strong sense of duty or responsibility, accurate and reliable. And actually, the more that I live, the more that I'm seeing that faithfulness, it's not something that you can teach very well. It's not. I've learned that either you're faithful or you're not. Matter of fact, and that's why it's a fruit. It's something that the Holy Spirit is able to grow inside of us. It's not something that we can easily do on our own. I mean, especially for the long haul. I mean, look, some people can be faithful in the short term, but very few people without the help of the Holy Spirit can be faithful in the long term. And there's a reasons why, because many things in this world actually fight faithfulness. I mean, let's be honest, faithfulness isn't as celebrated as it used to be. Quitting things, they've made that so easy today. Matter of fact, we do it all the time, and we probably don't even notice it anymore. I mean, let's be honest, if you're getting emails that you don't want to receive anymore, what do? Well, you scroll down to the bottom of the email, and you press the unsubscribe, right? And they will stop. Well, hopefully. Actually, more than I think about it, they rarely stop. And that's just yet another example of unfaithfulness in this world. I mean, if you don't like your job, well, quit. Find a new one. You don't like your spouse? Well, split up. Get a divorce. I mean, if you don't like your, and you can fill in the blank, well, then you get rid of it and just get something else. There are really little consequences that people see today from lack of loyalty in the world. Matter of fact, they The world tries to make it so simple and easy. They want to kind of make it quick and painless. But the truth is, that's so far from the truth. Commitment, trust, loyalty, even faithfulness, they're so hard to find. It can take years to build these things in a relationship, yet we can destroy them within seconds. And then trying to rebuild them takes even longer than it took to build it in the first place. I mean, let's be honest. Is there anything that you in a relationship would value more than trust or loyalty? I mean, let's be honest. Is there anything that's harder to maintain in a relationship than commitment or being faithful? I mean, is there anything more comforting in a relationship when you find someone that you can take at their word and it's unbreakable? You know that when they say it, it will happen. Matter of fact, the Bible says that faithfulness comes from a place of trust and loyalty. I want to read a verse for you in Hebrews. You can write this down. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being certain of what we do not see. I like that. See, it says being sure, being confident, certain, knowing for a fact that it's true and can be depended on. Matter of fact, even if you don't even have concrete evidence right in front of you. I mean, when someone is faithful, what you're saying is they have a track record that they've earned with you, where you will blindly take what they say as if they literally were doing it right in front of you. You are that convinced that what they say is going to happen. Matter of fact, our faithfulness increases depending on the value of what we are being faithful to. See, the strength of our faithfulness, I would say it hinges on what we see as important, and then we partner that with commitment. Because let's be honest, people have kind of a strong tendency to be faithful to what they think is truly important. I mean, it could be your family, could be a spouse, could be friendships, it could be an employer, it could be a school or an athletic team. It could be something as simple as Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. We all have things that we are faithful to or that we value. Matter of fact, a great, I guess you'd say, fruit test for faithfulness is to see the areas of your life that you don't finish. Or maybe things that you tend to change often. Or maybe you find it hard to keep going in them. What you may learn is that you don't value those things as much as you think. Now, you can change that, though, because the Bible talks about that you can invest in whatever that you love. The Bible actually is very specific that you can always tell what someone loves depending on what they're giving to. Matter of fact, you find it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, because the more time, money, and really anything that you give or invest in something, the more that your heart will become attached to it, and the more that you will want to be faithful to it. Now, I can tell you this though, if you want to be faithful to something, you're going to have to drop some things. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there are different mindsets in our life that we will have to break if we want to make sure that we remain faithful to God, and especially to the people that God has placed in our life. So let me talk about a few of those mindsets this morning. The first mindset is giving to get a reward. Giving to get a reward. See, God wants us to faithfully do what's right simply because it's right. Because the Bible says to do it. He wants us to trust that He will reward us based on what God believes is right. And in God's timing. See, what we actually may not want to hear, though, is sometimes that reward, it doesn't happen here on earth. The reward that you may get for your faithfulness may be when you one day stand before God and you hear, "Well done, good and faithful." See, God does reward faithfulness. He does. Matter of fact, all the time. You may not see it, but God is constantly showering us with blessings of protection, meeting our needs, always being with us, unconditional love, and so many other things that God continually showers on us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is." Other versions actually says, "believe that he exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." See, the problem we run into is though we have already decided what we believe our reward should be for faithfulness. But God may not do what we want. So if your faithfulness is based on what you want to get from God, you may end up quitting. Now, the second mindset, it's kind of similar. It's needing to know exactly how everything will turn out. I'll say that again. Needing to know exactly how everything will turn out. See, faithfulness means being consistent in doing what God asked you to do from the beginning until the end, all the way. Matter of fact, the great leaders of the world, the great leaders of the Bible, they were all finishers. They did. Matter of fact, they stuck with the assignments that God gave them all the way to the end. See, what you may not understand or maybe even like is God may not tell you how things are going to end up. God may not actually let you know what will happen once you are faithful in a certain area of your life. But you want the truth? You know what I've learned? There's a reason why God doesn't tell us those things. Because there are often things that God asks us to do that if God told us what the end was going to be, what the result was going to be, we wouldn't have done it. Because we wouldn't have agreed. We would say, well, God, that doesn't make sense. I don't want that as the reward. I don't want that as the result. There's a verse for you. Actually, you know what? Instead of talking about a verse, think about your marriage vows. Now, when we talk about marriage and we give vows, it talks about both the good and the bad. You probably use very similar marriage vows that I did. In sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, in good times and in bad times, until death. Now, it's actually quite similar to the earlier mindset that we talked about, you know, of expecting a certain reward for being faithful. See, if your willingness to follow after God and to, I guess, start and finish what he asks you to do is dependent on either knowing or probably agreeing with what God will do in the end, then you really aren't being faithful. What you're actually being is an opportunist. See, either you trust God or you don't. It's kind of the same thing with your spouse. Either you will remain faithful to your spouse or you won't. See, faithfulness should not be dependent on the other person and what they do. I'll say that again. Faithfulness shouldn't be dependent on the other person and what they do. You should be faithful because it's the right thing to do. Now, finally, let me talk about a third mindset. It's the mindset of compromise. Now, I have to admit, of all the mindsets, this one is probably the most dangerous for you to be faithful, not only to God, but for the different people in your life. And the compromise that I'm talking about, it's when you do a little bit less than what you know is right. See, compromise kind of shows up in our patterns of behavior that at first, it just, they don't seem that bad. They don't seem that big. Matter of fact, they seem very insignificant. Like, for example, it could be like, well, starting to leave work. Maybe like 5 or 10 minutes early. Well, Pastor, what's the big deal with that? 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, look, that's like a bathroom break. So I just left a little early because, you know, really? Are we really going to get like nickel and dime over literally 5 or 10 minutes? Or it's, you know, well, it was just one little lie. I mean, What's the big deal? Matter of fact, I don't even think they figured out that I lied to them. And look, you want the truth? That lie actually stopped a huge argument from happening. So I mean, if you really want to think about it, that little lie actually was kind of kind. That sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? You know, or look, all right, so I stared at an attractive coworker or neighbor. What's the big deal? I looked. I mean, it was more of a glance. I mean, it wasn't even for very long. No one caught me. Look, all I did was look. How is that a big deal? It was small. It probably won't even happen again. You know, or okay, so I slept in a little this morning. Yes, I missed my quiet time. I missed, you know, my devotionals I do. But, I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Look, God knows how busy. Do you have any idea how busy I am right now? I got things going here, things going there. I mean, look, God knows how busy I am. I mean, half the stuff that I'm doing for Him. So, I mean, of course God understands. It's not a big deal. Now, let's be honest. Unfaithful spouses, they don't first start with sleeping with someone. They don't. You see, it starts small. See, unfaithful workers, they don't start by blowing off lots of work. It starts small. I mean, even people who decide to stop following after Jesus, they just don't make a snap decision. It usually starts with one compromise that you let go. You know, and you don't own the mistake, but you're really quick with the excuse. And, you know, you don't repent, and you definitely don't change. See, the problem with that is that it opens the door to an enemy who wants to do everything he can to spoil the fruit in your life. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Obey God, stand up to the devil, he will run away from you." See, if we can avoid these mindsets, giving to get a reward, needing to know how everything in your life will turn out, and avoiding compromise, if we can stop those things in our life, it will allow us to reap a harvest of faithfulness, not only to God, but for all the other people that God has placed in our life. But what does faithfulness really mean? Well, let me give you some different points that I think will show you what faithfulness is. So number one, faithfulness is celebrating obedience and not the result. That can be pretty difficult for people, can't it? I mean, look, when we do something faithfully, it's hard not to have some expectation on what's going to happen. And see, I think the major reason that happens is that we forget that even though we're doing, you know, part of the work, that there are so many other parts that are happening that are completely out of our control, and they're 100% in God's control. And to be honest, what you think are good results may not be God's definition of good results. I mean, think about it. You plant a seed, so you want to see something grow from it. You treat someone with kindness, so you want them to appreciate it. You pray for someone, so you want that prayer answered. I mean, we've all been there, you know, kind of hoping for God to move in a certain way. That's not wrong. That's actually normal. But see, what we need to do is be willing to celebrate obedience, not the result. Look, go ahead and celebrate if exactly what you were hoping for happened. There's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. But I want to tell you, that's not what God's interested in. God is interested in the obedience. Why? Well, because God knows His plan's going to happen. His purpose will happen. There's nothing you can do to stop God from accomplishing what He wants done. Our job is just to do our part, which is the obedience. Now, the second, actually, let me read a verse for you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. Now remember, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. So Paul is writing this. It reads, "I planted the seed," so I is Paul. "Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So the one who plants is not important. See, that's Paul talking about himself. The one who waters is not important. It is God who makes things grow. He is the one who is important. See, faithfulness is all about doing what God asks us to do, regardless of the result. We have to remember that God is smarter than us. His way is perfect. So we just trust him and we leave the result in his hands. All right, so let's go on to the second one. Faithfulness is being a finisher. Yes, faithfulness means finishing. Look, no one wants a half-baked loaf of bread. You ever see one of those? It's still kind of like doughy and mushy in the middle. They don't taste good. I mean, who wants to run like most of a race but quit right before the finish line? I've literally watched on TV that people who get hurt and they're literally crawling and dragging themselves to the finish line. I mean, it's like reading a book and not reading the last chapter, or like watching a movie and then with 10 minutes left just stopping. I mean, who would want to do that? See, if you're going to be faithful, you got to make sure that you have the endurance to go all the way to the end, to finish. Because look, the truth be told, it's probably better if you don't start something at all if you're not willing to finish it all the way to the end. Now, the third one, faithfulness is swallowing your pride because you will need help to finish. Swallowing your pride because you will need help to finish. See, your ability to be faithful will often be dependent on your ability to ask for help. We weren't designed to be talented or great in everything. We weren't. Matter of fact, being willing to ask like a question, you know, when you don't know what to do, or being willing to, you know, ask for help when you get stuck or you're just plain old tired, that can be the difference between you remaining faithful or you end up quitting. We can't allow our pride to stop us from being faithful to what God's called us to do. 4, faithfulness is trusting God no matter how things look. No matter how things look. Look, it's easy to be faithful when everything is going well. I mean, how hard is it to be faithful when your spouse is in a good mood? Or, you know, when your boss is paying you well and he's happy with your performance? Or, you know, when every time that you pray to God, God answers your prayer? That's easy. I mean, of course you're going to be faithful in that. But do you have the same strength to be faithful when things get stormy in your life? Do you have the same level of faithfulness when your spouse is in a bad mood? Or when your boss is actually, you know, not happy with your performance and is talking about a pay cut? Or when it seems that every prayer that you pray to God, God does not seem to be answering? Look, anybody can be faithful during the good times. It's the hard times that define you. I've always been taught that you will not be defined by your A game. You will be defined by how you do when things are hard. Everyone can run a race when you don't have a cramp. But how do you do when you have a cramp? Are you still running with everything you got? Everyone can get the batter out when he has his A game. But are you still able to do it when you have your B, C, or your D game? Finally, faithfulness is being committed. Matter of fact, being faithful, it's like being a rock. It doesn't matter what's going on around it. It just stays where it is. It doesn't change. It's a fact, and nothing is going to convince you otherwise. Because faithfulness isn't what you do kind of once that brings you victory in your life. Faithfulness is knowing what God said to do and you doing it over and over and over and over again until the end, until you're finished. See, nothing should ever stop you from being faithful to God. Now, What I want to do is, as I'm kind of ending, I want to give you what I would kind of call an interesting question. Do you think that there are any times in your life when you shouldn't be faithful? Think about that. Is there a time in our life when we should not be faithful? See, I actually believe that there is. Now, what I've learned in life is that many people in today's world, they're often in a rush. Have you noticed that? People are always trying to get things done faster, sooner, quick things. You know, they don't have the patience to kind of wait in their life, so they make a lot of snap decisions based on what they feel like doing. So they go out and they commit to something, not because God actually told them to do it, but because they wanted to do it. Now, so what happens is we end up trying to do things that God isn't really helping us with because he never told us to do it. And since God isn't blessing us and he isn't helping us, and nor is he giving us the strength to do it, what happens? Well, we dry up and we end up quitting. And some of us, we don't even quit. We're just too plain stubborn and we keep trying to do it anyway. Thinking that, you know, well, it's better that I just keep doing this rather than quit. It's almost kind of like a, I would almost call it like a false sense of faithfulness. But in reality, it's you just being stubborn and prideful. Now look, if God did not give you permission before to do it, and you didn't even bother to ask him, you better slow down and, you know what? Have a conversation with God. You need to ask God if he actually wants you in that situation. Matter of fact, you better get some counsel from other people who are godly that you trust and help them or help allow them to help you hear clearly from God. Because basically, you need to do everything that you should have done before you made the decision in the first place. Asking God and asking for godly counsel. Because look, it is quite possible that God may ask you to stop. He might. Look, it's unhealthy. It's hurting your relationship with God. And it's time for it to end. And look, if that's true, go back to those same counselors. Because look, they may be able to help you come up with a plan on how to actually remove that from your life. But ultimately, you got to remember, your faithfulness has to be to God first. He has to be your priority. But it's also possible that God may ask you to keep going. He may. Look, it may not have been what he wanted you to do. But there's no way to undo what you did. So you know what? You're going to have to walk through the natural consequences of not asking God or not doing what God actually told you to do. And again, go back to those same counselors. They can help you navigate through this time and get to the end. But that's why there are verses like Romans 8:28. Why? Because sometimes we or people that we love, we make poor decisions. And that's why Romans 8:28, that verse reads, "And we know that for those who love God," so wait a minute, hold on. Who's this promise for? Is it for everyone? Let me read it again. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That doesn't make it easier. It actually doesn't make it easier at all. But even when we aren't faithful, God's still faithful to us. That's a verse. That's 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. Write that down. 2 Timothy 2:13. "Even if we are not faithful, he will remain faithful. He must be true to himself." Because like I said before, faithfulness is not dependent on the other person. You can be faithful no matter what the other person does. So you know what? When a spouse comes up to me and says, "Pastor, I'm not going to be faithful because they weren't faithful to me." No, faithfulness is not dependent on the other person. That's your commitment. That's what you promised. And what we just read here is that God is faithful to us even when we're not faithful. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that all the times that you weren't faithful to God, God was faithful to you? And see, once God begins working on us, He does it all the way to the end. He doesn't stop until it's finished. God is always faithful. But that's why we model our life after Him. That's why we strive to become more like Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." See, we have to allow God to finish the work in us. We can't give up. We don't want to give up. We have to keep doing what God has called us to do. And you know what? If you do, if you remain faithful, and when you mess up, you get back up and you remain faithful, you know what you're going to hear one day? You're going to stand before God and you're going to hear these words: "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your God." Now, before we end, what I thought I would do is give you what I would call kind of a faithfulness test. You can use it to kind of see areas in your life that if you were able to work on, it would allow you to become stronger in your area of faithfulness. I guess call it a fruit check, because you're going to see, based on these questions, that there are some areas of your life that may need some pruning. So let me just read these to you. Number one, is your life full of projects you've started but never finished? Number two, do you follow through on your commitments, like reading the Bible, exercise, giving, and paying your debts? Number three, are you consistent and on time for appointments, or are you a chronic late or no-show? Number four, do you strive for excellence, or do you tend to do the bare minimum to get by? Number five, do you remain committed to people even when they disappoint you? Number six, are you faithful in giving even when the results are not what you want or expect? And finally, do you praise God regardless of the circumstances? If you're able to use those questions in your life, you'll be able to see areas that you can allow God to do some pruning, and it will grow you.